It's great to be back together again today, and we're reading in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, and I've already given you three insights into just this one verse. Let me read the verse, and then briefly I'll remind you of what these insights are, and I have more to say on the third insight. So let's get the passage front and center. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Insight number one. There's an order to how John receives this revelation. It goes from God the Father to Jesus the Son to the angel and to John and from John to us. Insight number two. The source of all divine revelation is God. Notice the words, God gave. This revelation comes from God. And insight number three, the mediator of God's revelation of himself is Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, meaning Jesus, and he, Jesus, sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Jesus is the mediator of God's revelation to us. And Jesus tells us this himself back in John's gospel. We read his words in John 1, verse 18, and in John 5, verse 20. And now I invite you to come with me, still in the gospel according to John, to chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is an absolutely brilliant chapter in the gospels. And down in verse 8, the disciple Philip asks the Lord Jesus to do something for him and for the other disciples. I'm reading John chapter 14 and verse 8. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Philip asked of Jesus something that so many of Christ's disciples want to ask. Show us God. We want to see God. And this harkens back to our question, what does God look like? Philip says, show us the Father, show us God. And we agree. If we could just see God with our own two human eyes, then we'd believe, or we'd believe with much greater conviction. But listen carefully now to the response of Jesus in verse 9. Oh, this is crucial to your understanding of who God is. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying, I am God. Philip, when you see me, you see God. What does God look like? He looks like Jesus. While God the Father is not a physical being, Jesus was a physical being. And while God the Father is a spiritual being, so is Jesus. And while God the Father is invisible, Jesus became visible. So if you want to know what God looks like, look to Jesus. And this fits perfectly our third insight into Revelation 1, verse 1. The mediator of God's revelation of himself is Jesus. Jesus brings down to earth, to us, God's essential being. This is why Jesus asked Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Philip needed to recognize God in Christ, and we do too. Some of you have read about the life of Christ for a lengthy period of time now, and yet you still only see in him his humanity. Your experience has been with the man Jesus. That will be particularly true for those of you who belong to churches with a theologically liberal bent. It could be that the leaders of your church do not even think that Jesus is God. God forbid. And yet New England, not to mention various other parts of the world, is littered with such quote-unquote churches and teaching. But this one exchange between Philip and Jesus ought to change your mind fast. Jesus says of himself that he is God. It is time you see God in Jesus. The Lord is the perfect God-man. Be a part of a church that emphasizes this. It is the truth. And this Jesus is who we shall meet in Revelation 1. In fact, let's drop down now to verse 2 in Revelation chapter 1. We're moving systematically through chapter 1, and I've covered verse 1 and those three insights, plus the summary statement that God reveals himself, and he reveals himself through Jesus Christ. And just a quick reminder, you can go back and get all that I've said thus far on the God Is podcast, a free download of which is available from 590amtheword.com. Just go to 590amtheword.com, click podcast at the top of the homepage, and then God Is. You can listen as many times as you want and share this with friends and family of yours. As we move into verse 2, we'll continue to learn that God reveals himself, and he reveals himself through Jesus Christ. I want to deal with verse 2, but it's hard to read on its own without the momentum of verse 1. So let's do this. Read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 together. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Circle, if you can, the word in verse 2, testified, testimony, eyewitness testimony. This is what John gives us in the Bible. Verse 2 calls the Bible the word of God. And as we've been toggling back and forth between the Gospel of John and the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Apostle John is Jesus' witness. He was called by Jesus and saved from his sin by Jesus. He witnessed the trial, the bodily crucifixion, the bodily death, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. John met the resurrected Christ personally. And he wrote clearly about all of this in his gospel. And then on this island of Patmos, the apostle John meets Jesus again, and John pens this revelation. John testifies to us who Jesus is. John gives an eyewitness account. Verse 2 says, all that he saw. Furthermore, notice this phrase in verse 2, the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That exact same phrase is repeated again over in Revelation 1 and verse 9. The text reads, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Whenever the Bible repeats something, please take note of it. What does this mean? It's this, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus go together. And they go together because the word of God is the testimony of Jesus. The word of God is the testimony of Jesus. Given that the word of God is this, the Bible, then we know the Bible is the testimony of Jesus Christ. My friends, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If somebody asks you, what is the Bible about? Tell them boldly, the Bible is about Jesus. You will be very accurate if this is what you tell someone when he or she asks about God's word. In fact, the whole identity of prophecy is Jesus. I've told you that Revelation is a prophetic book, and it is the only prophetic book in the New Testament. But the Old Testament is filled with prophecy. In fact, 17 of the 39 Old Testament books deal with the future. And guess what? In each of those prophecies, Jesus is the central theme. Jesus answers the what question we had earlier this week when we read books like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, or minor prophets like Joel and Malachi. Read them for yourself and you will see Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. There's a splendid little sentence of scripture later in this book of the Revelation that I want you to hear today. It supports exactly this point. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 says this in part, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, 10. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Earlier I said the Bible is all about Jesus, and the prophetic books make him their dominant theme. And this begs the question, what will you do about Jesus? He is going to confront us in this text, as he does throughout the entire Bible. And he is looking for a response from each and every one of us. What will you do about Jesus? How will you respond to him is the single most determining factor in how your life will be judged by the living God. To reject Christ, to turn away from Him, to spurn the supremacy of Him as Lord of your life, is then to be justly condemned by God when you pass from this life to the next and face the Holy One's judgment. There is for all of us a righteous judgment on our lives forthcoming. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Take that to heart. This will happen. This is the truth. Hebrews 9, 27. And do you want to face your judgment having rejected Christ? Do you? The word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ are that you have a choice, and choosing wisely for Christ is the most urgent and pressing decision before you in your life. And yet, if you choose for Him, you will be in the minority of people who do so. There is widespread rejection of Jesus. Countless billions go on their way today, having been presented with who Jesus is and disdained Him. They have found Him unworthy of their respect, honor, and worship. He means nothing to them. And there is no greater tragedy afoot today than this. None. This is the single greatest tragedy the whole world faces, because this means that billions will be brought to a halting account for their lives outside of Christ, hopeless in their quaking trepidation before God. But you do not have to be one of them. You do not. Choose for Him. Accept that Jesus is the Lord and Master of your life. May He be your testimony. Think soberly about this and act. I stand by ready to guide you into a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. So write to me today and ask how you can surrender your will to His will. And then let's meet back here on Monday and move into verse 3 of Revelation 1 as we continue to learn who God is.